The first scripture is from the letter of James, chapter 5, verses 13 through 20. And I'm reading from the New Revised Standard Version. Are any among you suffering? They should pray. Are any cheerful? They should sing songs of praise. Are any among you sick? They should call for the elders of the church and have them pray over them, anointing them with oil in the name of the Lord. The prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise them up. And anyone who has committed sins will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so that you may be healed. The prayer of the righteous is powerful and effective. Elijah was a human being like us, and he prayed fervently that it might not rain. And for 3 years and 6 months, it did not rain on the earth. Then he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth yielded its harvest. My brothers and sisters, if anyone among you wanders from the truth and is brought back by another, you should know that whoever brings back a sinner from wandering will save the sinner's soul from death and will cover a multitude of sins. The next passage comes from Mark, Gospel of Mark, chapter 9, verses 38 to 50. John said to him, "Teacher, we saw someone casting out demons in your name, and we tried to stop him because he was not following us." But Jesus said, "Do not stop him. For no one who does a deed of power in my name will soon afterward be able to speak evil of me. Whoever is not against us is for us. For truly I tell you, whoever give you a cup of water to drink because you bear the name of Christ will by no means lose the reward. If any one of you put a stumbling block before one of these little ones who believe in me, it would be better for you if a great millstone were hung around your neck and you were thrown into the sea. If your hand causes you to stumble, cut it off. It is better to enter life maimed than to have two hands and to go to hell, to the unquenchable fire. And if your foot causes you to stumble, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life lame than to have 2 feet and be thrown into hell. And if your eye causes you to stumble, tear it out. It is better for you to enter the kingdom of heaven with one eye than to have 2 eyes and to be thrown into hell, where the worm never dies and the fire is never quenched. For everyone will be salted with fire. Salt is good, but if salt has lost its saltiness, how can you season it? Have salt in yourselves and be at peace with one another."
All right, everybody take a deep breath. Well, as Monty Python would say, and now for something completely different. Have you ever played the board game Othello? Yeah. Love that game. Although I was realizing that I haven't played it in a really long time. I used to play it a ton in grade school. There must have been a copy of it in like my first, in you know, my third grade class or whatever it would have been. And I remember the game's motto printed on the cardboard box. Anyone else remember the motto? A minute to learn, a lifetime to master. I think Othello delivered pretty well on its basic premise that it's a game that even a young child can pick up quickly, but it's also a game that continues to be interesting, complex, and rewarding for many years to come. reading our passages from James and Mark this morning, I'm reminded that Christianity is a lot like Othello. Our faith isn't that complicated. Even a small child can understand it. God loves us so much that he sent his son Jesus to be with us, to die for us, and to live through us in his resurrection. In response to God's love, we're called to love God with everything we've got and to love the people around us as we love ourselves. Easy, right? Not complicated. It's not hard to understand. Practically everyone, kids, adults, old people, can grasp the plot here. But practicing it, that's more challenging. Minutes to learn, lifetime to master. I like James because he's so practical. I don't mean to embarrass Dorothy, but James reminds me of Dorothy Takemoto. He doesn't mince words. He tells us his message directly and clearly. He says, "Are you suffering? Pray. Are you happy? Sing. Is someone sick? Get the elders of the church to pray over them and anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. Confess your sins to one another. Pray for one another for healing. Prayer works. It's not complicated. Take care of one another. Depend on one another. Love each other. How hard is that? Based on my own experience of life and community, it can be hard. We humans struggle to do these simple things. The Christian walk isn't hard to understand, and yet we often fail to move our feet. A minute to learn, a lifetime to master. We need no-nonsense spiritual fathers like James. We need people who can remind us of our simple faith. A road that's made by walking, which isn't hard to understand. Showing love to one another in practical ways, in the daily life of community. Pray, sing, visit the sick, mourn the dead, confess sin, lend without expectation of return, care for children and educate them in the love of Jesus. In all these ways and more, we become the body and blood of Christ, poured out for one another and the world. Now, maybe that last little bit surprised you. This seems sort of like a non sequitur. I made that leap from the mundane to the sublime, from caring for one another to being the mystical body of Christ, the Word made flesh in our daily lives. James focuses on simplicity of faith, the get it done spirit that we all need to get our heads, to get out of our heads and just do the work. But we're also reminded, even in James, who's very down to earth, even James reminds us that simple and mundane acts echo in eternity. When we gather together to worship God, we join the four creatures before the heavenly throne, crying, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty." When we sing hymns of praise, we participate in the songs of the angels. When we visit the sick, we attend to Christ himself. And when we care for one another, when we support each other in this walk of Christian faith, God uses us to transform lives forever. Our reading from James concludes with these words: "My brothers and sisters, if anyone among you wanders from the truth and is brought back by another, you should know that whoever brings back a sinner from wandering will save the sinner's soul from death and will cover a multitude of sins." These simple acts of care and accountability aren't hard to understand, but their impact is deep. As brothers and sisters in Christian community, we're responsible to one another, and we're responsible for one another. and the stakes are high. In our reading from Mark this morning, well, Jesus doesn't mince words, does he? He says, anyone who puts a stumbling block before someone who's seeking to follow God would be better off taking a long walk off a short pier. On the other hand, he says that anyone who performs even the most humble act, even giving someone a cup of water to drink in the name of Christ, will be of great consequence too. You'll by no means lose your reward. So what's Jesus saying here? What's the meaning behind Jesus' extreme language and violent imagery? Faith and I were discussing this last night, and I had to admit, Jesus can be a little bit hard to understand sometimes. But even if some of the language is off-putting, I think the message of both James and Jesus is clear. The walk of discipleship is serious business. It's not a game. Our actions have real consequences, both for ourselves and for others. We're responsible for one another, and we will be held accountable. A lot of times we resist this reality. We live in a culture that teaches us that we are independent, autonomous individuals. At worst, this society encourages us to follow our bliss, regardless of the consequences for ourselves or for the people around us. But our lives are not our own. James, always practically minded, pulls us back to reality. We've been saved by Christ for a purpose. And our actions echo in eternity, for good or for evil. Jesus doesn't want his disciples walking blind. We need to know how serious this journey is that we're on. There's no room for the selfishness that gets in the way of our own salvation and the salvation of those around us. Our destiny is tied up together. We are one body and we live in one spirit. This is a call for us as Berkeley Friends Church to walk the path. Minutes to learn, a lifetime to master. God's calling us into that lifetime journey of spiritual mastery, not as autonomous individuals, but as part of a living organism, the Church of Jesus Christ. Real people, real actions, real responsibility to God and one another. So are we feeling happy today? Let's sing. Do we feel sadness and doubt? Let's pray together. Are there those among us who are sick or in financial trouble or depressed? Let's show them our love and support. Are there those who are wandering from the truth and need to be called back into the fold? Let's shepherd one another, submitting to one another in all humility and love. I know it can be hard to believe, but this community really matters. In the eyes of the world, we're nothing. But in the eyes of God, this community is a powerful bulwark, a great sequoia rooted in God's life and with branches fanning out into the communion of saints in the heavenlies. The worship that we perform, the actions of justice and mercy that God inspires, the care that we show for one another, the shepherding we provide each other when we stray. This is our true life's work, God living in us. So don't be discouraged when you look upon our community life and see such a simple, unassuming group of people, almost not worth noticing by the powerful, the glamorous, the successful in this world. Don't be fooled by our small numbers and quirky appearance. That's not what God sees. Despite all appearances, we are caught up in the most important thing there is, the very mission of God. A minute to learn, a lifetime to master. Step by step, day by day. So let's love God. Let's love one another and all the people that God places in our lives. Let's pray. Let's sing. Let's visit one another. Let's care for children, teaching them how to be friends of Jesus. Let's bring healing, physical, emotional, and financial. And when one of us goes astray, let's go after that lost sheep. Because this is the life of the body. Our God and the whole host of heavenly witnesses rejoice when even one lost sheep is found.